Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome. My name is Becky Metcalf, and we're delighted to see so many people at our design workshop. So these design workshops are devised to dig deeper into some of the themes that we're seeing in interior design. And we're so lucky that our host today is KLC School of Design. They've been going for 36 years. They're in Design Centre East, and honestly, the best practices have their graduates in there. They do all sorts of courses though. They do qualification courses, and they also do courses for people who just have a passion for interior design. Now, some of their lecturers are particularly good, and also they are professional interior designers as well. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Nicola Burt to tell us more about creating captivating interior screens. Please give a very warm welcome.
Thank you, Becky. Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. It's so lovely to see all of you here. I hope you're having a nice time here at Focus in the Design Centre. We're in the Baker showroom as well, which is absolutely beautiful. I'd really like you to have a look around. You're welcome to come have a look around at some of the furniture afterwards, after we've spoken about this. So, as Becky said, my name is Nicola Burt. I'm an interior designer. I'm also a tutor at KLC School of Design. And I'm going to talk to you about creating captivating interior schemes today. So before I start, just a little reminder, if you could switch your phone to silent or make sure it's turned off, and then we'll get started, okay? I'm just going to have a little drink of water. Now, so lots of people shy away from using colour and pattern in a scheme and play it safe. So it often results in a scheme that's a bit flat and uninspiring. So in this talk, what I want to try and do is take a little bit of the mystery out of how to create a scheme that looks stylish and interesting. And also, give you a little bit of confidence in creating, captivating schemes in your own home. So, whether you're studying interior design or you're in the industry, or you're just looking for design tips for your own home, and hopefully this talk will help you think about how to put together captivating and successful schemes that combine colour and texture and pattern to add interest and personality and style. So we'll get started. So the first thing I wanted to do was look at colour, because for me, I think colour is the most important thing, and it's the starting point, because if you've got your colour scheme decided, then you can start to think about textures, and you can start to think about patterns, and you can start to think about how you combine all of those. But colour really is the starting point. So, I know from a lot of clients that I have, colour, it can be really difficult to decide on a colour scheme for a room, and it's where a lot of people get stuck, and it's then where you sort of go down the sort of grey or greyish or sort of beige, neutrally, scheme, because you kind of think, I'm going to pay a decorator, I don't really want to get this wrong. So, you sort of think about what colours and what proportions and, what colours work best together. So, if you play it safe by using one or two colours, it can just look a bit sort of dull and lifeless. So there's just, some things in terms of colour and colour combinations that I just wanted to take you through, just to sort of understand that, if you do sort of understand this, it will really help you to sort of, make decisions easier. So one of the most important tools an interior designer has, and I've brought one I'm prepared already, is a colour wheel. So at KLC, when we're studying, you get one of these. And this is mine, from my KLC days. And I still use it because actually you kind of, unless you're obsessed with colour, you're not going to know all of this stuff off by heart. So it's just really good to have a reference to be able to refer to and check. So the colour wheel helps us decide on what combination of colours work best together in a given scheme. So I know this is a little bit basic, but I just thought let's start with this, and then we've got a really good understanding. So there's three primary colours, as we know. We've got red, yellow and blue, and then there's three secondary colours, which is two primary colours mixed together. So yellow and blue make green, red and blue make violet, and yellow and red make orange. And then we've got six tertiary colours, which is one primary colour and one primary colour and one secondary colour mixed together. So red and violet, If you can see here, red and violet makes red violet. So blue and violet make blue violet. So that's all sort of our colours on the spectrum that we can work with. So the next thing to look at is saturation, which basically means the intensity of a colour. So pure saturated colours are located on the outside perimeter here of the colour wheel. And then as you move closer to the centre of the colour wheel, the colours get less saturated, so they get less intense. So highly saturated colours then are bright and vivid, and less saturated colours are muted, so they have white, grey or black added to them. So a tint is a hue or a colour with white added. A tone is a hue with grey added. And a shade is a hue with black added. So tint, tone, shade, white, grey, black. Okay? Now, warm colours. So we're going to look at warm colours first, and they sit all around orange on the colour wheel. So we've pulled those out for sort of reference. And warm colours give the visual impression of advancing in a room. So they're coming closer towards you. So a wall painted red, for example, if this wall was painted red, it would feel like it was moving much closer to you. So warm colours, we would look at choosing warm colours. And I'm talking now about the Northern Hemisphere where we are, okay? So because the light is different in the Southern Hemisphere. So you choose warm colours for a north-facing room, just as a good rule of thumb, because a north or east-facing room, because the natural light there is indirect, and you know, grey shadows can be an issue. So, you know, check the orientation of the room that you're looking at and working in. So warm colours will warm up a north or an east-facing room. Cool colours, opposite, sit around blue on the colour wheel, so blues and greens. And cool colours will do the opposite to warm colours, and they will appear to recede visually, okay? So a classic solution to making a small room appear larger is to paint it a tint or a tone of a cool colour, okay? So cool colours work best in south or west-facing rooms, okay? Because they bring a fresh note into these warm and sunny rooms. So sunny rooms can handle these cooler colours, such as blues and greens. But when we use the term cool, don't confuse it with sort of having to use pastel colours. So a strong, cool colour can work really well as well. You know, as you can see in this room here with that sort of really sort of strong blue. So the next thing we're going to look at are black, white and grey. They're not on the colour wheel because they're not technically colours. And we refer to them as achromatic colours, okay? And it's from the Greek. I'm going to try and say apologies if I pronounce this wrong. It comes from the word achromatos, which means without colour, okay? Neutral colours aren't on the colour wheel either. And by neutral colours, we mean colours like this. So brown, tan, taupe, beige, cream, ivory, off-white, sand, and everything sort of kind of along that spectrum. But neutral colours don't have to be boring. They can have real depth and character as they do in nature, and they can really, really be enhanced with texture. Now, I'm just going to have a little drink of water. So one way you can liven up a neutral scheme is by adding a strong accent colour. And an accent colour can add vitality and sophistication and energy to a room, but still retaining the balancing quality of the neutrals as your background palette. And, you know, accent colours are good because they can be changed easily. You can change it up or down to give a room a new look without having to change the whole room and the whole scheme. So this allows for sort of flexibility, you know, a little bit of future-proofing. And obviously is more economical as well because you don't have to change the whole scheme. So this is a good example here of, you know, this blue, lovely, lovely blue, just being, you know, really energising the scheme, and it's picked up with the artwork, and it's really, really balanced as well in the artwork by those lovely pink and orange tones. So again, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but looking at, you know, colour schemes, these colours really balance each other really well. And I think I'm coming up to it now. Yes, So colour harmonies, or sometimes we talk about them as colour schemes. So these are sort of colour combinations. And these are the most common ones, and we're going to look at these in depth today. And it's almost like these are the golden rules. So it's like if you follow these, you can't fail, okay? In terms of, you know, putting your colours together for your scheme. So I'm just going to kind of go through each one of these. So complementary is the first one. So a complementary scheme will have two colours which are directly opposite each other on the colour wheel. So we've got red and green, or you would have blue and yellow. Blue and orange, so they're directly opposite. The next scheme is a triadic scheme, so colours are evenly spaced around the colour wheel in a triangle. So they're evenly spaced, so any combination of three will work really well. And you sort of look at these and you go, really? And then actually when you sit and you sort of put them together, you go, oh yeah, they do work, yeah, yeah. So an analogous or a harmonious scheme is colours that sit next to each other on the colour wheel. So they sort of sit beside each other. And again, any combination, and they will work really well. And a monochromatic scheme is tints, tones, and shades of the same colour or hue. Okay, so it'll be a scheme of blues, but it'll be tints, tones, and shades of blue. Okay, so in terms of, you know, kind of remembering these as well, you know, complementary colours will complement each other. So that's as in they work well together and, you know, not, you know, you look very nice. They will also be a complementary scheme will be lively and energetic. A triadic scheme, three colours equally spaced in a triangle. And this will be a lively and energetic scheme as well. An analogous scheme are... they're the sort of friendly next door neighbours. So you would have a minimum of two and a maximum of five, ideally three or four in a scheme. And this it can be lively, but overall it's harmonious and soothing. It's quite sort of relaxing and calm. And the monochromatic scheme, it's varying shades of the one colour. So it's calm and relaxing, but it can also be sophisticated. So these are the four sort of colour harmonies that we're going to look at today. So these are some more, going to the next level, colour harmonies, but these are a little bit more complicated. I just wanted to mention them. Split complementary, dyadic, and tetradic, but we're not going to go into those today. So a complementary scheme, as you can see in these two images, it's a complementary scheme, two colours that sit opposite each other on the colour wheel, and the colours are blue and orange. So complementary colours work best, and a complementary scheme works best when one colour is allowed to dominate and the other colour is an accent. Because if you have the two colours in equal proportions, it's just too jarring. They're fighting with each other, so it's just not relaxing and it doesn't work together. Whereas, as you can see here, one of them as an accent is just, you know, it's much more sort of appealing. Now, this is a triadic scheme. So the three colours, red, yellow, and blue, evenly spaced on the colour wheel, and they're here in the scheme. And you normally, the triadic scheme, I think it works best when, or you know, you can try this out, when you have two colours in sort of equal proportions and then a third is an accent. You don't have the three of them in equal proportions because it's just, you know, they're all fighting with each other, basically. Now, and a harmonious or analogous colour scheme. So in this one, the colours red, orange, red, and red-violet are adjacent to each other on the colour wheel. So for this type of scheme to be successful, as I said, choose, you know, minimum of two, maximum of five, but, you know, ideally three or four consecutive colours on the wheel. So remember to use the same tint, tone, or shade of the adjacent colours. So this works, again, because they're the same tint, tone, and shade, they're the same intensity as each other. So there isn't a pale pink with a really vibrant red, because that just wouldn't sort of work. And also, you've got the red as the sort of accent colour, the sort of pop of colour. Now, this monochromatic scheme uses tints, tones, and shades of blue. So, and this results in quite a sort of a grown-up and sophisticated scheme. And there's lots of texture going on, which we will look at in a little bit. So I want to talk a little bit about pattern. Not too much, because that's almost another whole thing in itself. But it's looking at how we can use patterns to create our captivating schemes. And you know, it's just a little sort of kind of pointer or direction on how, you know, to help you on how this can work. So I just wanted to look at some sort of, you know, trends that have been this year in patterns. So one of them, it's been around for a while, is the zigzags or the chevrons. And there's also the diamonds and the cubes. And a big trend has been oversized florals. So just in terms of look at this, can anyone say why they think the schemes work? Don't worry, I'll tell you. So okay. So, pardon? Yeah, almost there. So it's because each of them, so we're obviously looking at them individually, not sort of together as one, but each of them sticks to a really, really tight colour palette, okay? So no matter what the pattern, the colours are the same. The colours stick to whatever colour palette you've chosen. And also, what you sort of picked up on there was the key pieces of furniture in the scheme. So in this one here, we've got the coffee table and the rug. In this one, we've got the bed. In this one, we've got the armchair and the sort of low table. They're all plain, but they're in a colour in the palette. So there isn't too much pattern fighting for attention. Now we're going to look at texture and interiors. So it's just looking at how we can use different textures, you know, because, you know, a lot of us are still a bit scared of pattern and how do we put pattern together so that it works. One thing that we can look at doing is texture to create our captivating scheme. So the texture of a fabric will affect the appearance of its colour. Because of the way in which different textures react to light. So as we can see here, these are three different textures in purple, but they're all reacting quite differently, and they obviously all appear quite different. So playing with the way that different textures absorb and diffuse light can help to bring added depth and character to a room, particularly when you're using neutrals. And also in achromatic and monochromatic schemes, because it stops the scheme and the room from feeling flat and lifeless. So texture and sheen, they control the amount of reflected light and colour an object sends back to our eyes. So the amount of sheen on an object determines how much of that colour is reflected and how much is absorbed. Texture can also distort colour perception. So this is something that you need to be aware of when you're putting together your interior scheme. So for instance, velvet fabric for a sofa and the colour of the walls, when you put those together as two little samples, they look exactly the same. The colours will look exactly the same. But then when you put them in the finished room, they will look different because of the sheen difference and how they're reacting to light. So all of these here are high sheen, light reflective textures. So things like silk and satin, patent leather, paints with a sheen, glazed or gloss finish, and mirrors and metals. So they all have a smooth surface that bounces light around the room. Okay, so colours on these surfaces tend to look brighter, stronger, and possibly sometimes even lighter. Now, so a flat finish paint or a textile absorbs more light because the surface is rough, it doesn't have a sheen, and the light is refracted back in many directions. So this makes the colour appear darker. So with this in mind, you've got rough textures. They're more likely to make a space feel intimate and grounded. Wool and velvet are light-absorbing textures, and so they will make the colour look warmer and more intense. And if you have a look around afterwards, some of the furniture pieces here in the showroom, they're lovely velvet furniture pieces, so you can see how intense the colour looks on them. So a rough texture like corduroy or tweed or an embossed fabric will cast shadows upon itself. Light filtering textures like voile and shears, they will allow light to be diffused while retaining privacy, but also they add a softness to hard finishes and they can really create a sense of drama in an interior. And there's some of the showrooms here who just have such a fabulous selection of voils. And, you know, they're not the cheapest of fabrics, because some of them have the most beautiful sort of woven textures on them. But if you really, if you had, you know, perhaps a neutral skein that you needed to enliven, you know, consider using a voile that's really going to play with the light and just, you know, create fantastic shadows in a room. So in this room here, there isn't a lot of colour going on, but it keeps our interest because it uses a lot of different textures in this scheme. We've got wood, we've got metal, we've got leather, we've got mirror, we've got tile around the fireplace, and caustic tiles, and also we've got that lovely sort of patinated wall. So it just adds our, you know, keeps our interest going, even though it's a neutral interior. And in this one, we've got this lovely textured wall going on, but we've also got wood, we've got metal, we've got glass, we've got linen, we've got silk, we've got fur. And it's not wholly rustic or wholly modern, because there's a good balance of rough and smooth textures. And it feels quite very calming and soothing. So looking at an achromatic scheme, looking at this scheme here, even though it's only got grey, black and white in the scheme, all of the textures keep it from looking dull and flat. So it's got like chunky knits, it's got soft wools, it's got crumpled linen, it's got pale wood, which is smooth, it's got those lovely delicate pencil drawings, it's got the shears, and it's got those lovely dark washed walls. And all of that combined together just makes us sort of want to reach in and touch it and even maybe, you know, climb into that bed and snuggle up. It's very, very, even though it's black, white and grey, it's very inviting. Now, this monochromatic scheme is composed entirely of blues, really, but the variety of textures in it really bring it to life. So we've got the fireplace around is painted the same colour as the walls, and this really brings out the pattern in the detail in the woodwork, you know, around the fireplace and the shutters. And the fluffiness of the throw is a really nice balancing contrast against the glass table and those glass objets on the table. And also, I just wanted to point out the gold lamp, because the shiny gold lamp works really well against the matte walls and the matte sofa. So do always consider how texture will elevate the overall experience of your design. Now, another good thing to do is create contrast in your scheme to add interest and excitement, because without it, again, a space can look bland and flat. So there's different ways of creating contrast, and one of the ways is between light and dark, as you can see here. But also another thing is shape. So in this scheme, there's lots of lovely sort of curved and circular shapes to offset all those long sort of linear lines in this kitchen. So another way of creating contrast is between rough and smooth finishes in a scheme. So in this one here, everything here has the same finish. It's got lovely voils there to sort of add a little bit of sort of softness and light to it. But I don't know about you, but I can almost hear like the scraping of those chairs and, you know, somebody clanging a glass down on the table and somebody click, 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 click in the high heels, and it just sort of been echoed around. Whereas here in this scheme, some rustic with some smooth surfaces, we've got a nice, pleasing contrast going on there. So consider as well, place a smooth texture next to a rough one, because this will make the rough objects stand out more, and it also will seem weightier than if you space them apart. So thinking about how to bring texture into interiors. So, you know, there's lots of ways we can do that. We can do that with furniture, like wooden benches, satin-covered reading chairs, marble tabletops, you know, really interesting finishes. Again, in the showroom here, there's some beautiful finishes here, really adding interest, like this contrast between these two, this coffee table here, the lovely smooth leather, and the brass detailing, and then the rough brass edging. So it's like smooth and rough, but the textures sort of kind of sing to each other. So these will all bring a distinct feel into the space. So another thing to think about is you know, your decorative accessories and styling. And this is something that, you know, there's obviously lots of things you could do on this, but this is just, you know, a few of my sort of tips just to sort of, you know, help you kind of, you know, think when you're thinking about finishing a space. So if you've got a collection of objects that are similar, group similar objects together. Don't sort of spread them out all over the place on different shelves. They always have much more impact when they're grouped together. They're just much more interesting. Group objects of different heights together, you know, sort of to create like a tablescape or, you know, a shelfie. So objects of different heights together, and always do them in odd numbers, threes and fives. Don't do them in pairs. It just makes them more interesting. And here as well, we can see this, you know, it's a kind of almost like a disparate group of objects, you know, grouped together, but they work well. They're at different heights, but they're all sort of cylindrical and they all stick to a very tight colour scheme. So they're all sort of talking to each other. Fill a space under a console table. Don't ever leave it empty. Just put something nice under it. Statement artwork is very, very important. I was just talking to some people here before the talk about artwork, and that's a whole other talk you could almost have in itself. But, you know, statement artwork will really, really, you know, bring a space to life. And that's where you can add, you know, your own sort of personal stamp on a place. Declutter, don't over-accessorize, don't have it all too fussy. Go large, if in doubt. You know, go for that big, huge piece of artwork or that huge lamp or that huge rug or that, you know, big chair if you can fit it in. And also what I think is really important is add the personal touch. Include items that mean something to you and are important to you and say something about you, because that's bringing the soul into the space. Floor and wall coverings are really important too. So, you know, a carefully placed rug or even a texture wall covering, they will bring, you know, a layer of warmth and depth into an interior and, you know, will help to finish a space. Textiles, they're great because they will really make a room pop. They will, you know, bring in your accent colours. They also have the advantage of not being too expensive. Again, if you wanted to change up the look and feel of the space, the colours, the colour scheme, you, again, without having to change the whole scheme or get new furniture. And just to bear in mind as well, texture, it's the component that helps elevate your interiors to the next level. Oh, missed the why there. This is something that I mentioned a little bit earlier. So in terms of, you know, bring personality into the space. So include something that you love and is unique to you into your scheme. So this is a kitchen I did for a client, and I just absolutely love helping clients to incorporate something that is unique to them into a scheme. And this client is from Norfolk, and she wanted to incorporate these tractor stools, bar stools, you know, in, you know, the island in her new kitchen, to remind her of home. And I love them because I just think they add a really quirky detail. They're fun. They add a little bit of colour. And they help to elevate this out of the ordinary, but also they're very her. She's a really fun person. And, you know, you sort of, you really feel, you walk in and you feel that you're in her space. It's not some sort of bland kitchen with no life to it. So another important detail is the details. So don't forget the details, because the small details are what take a scheme from ordinary to extraordinary. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, go around the harbour, check out the work of, you know, the makers and the artisans and the designers here, and look at their work, look at and just, you know, get to know them so you know what you like, you know what you can add into a scheme. I particularly like the work of Avian Daly. She's an upholsterer who includes this incredible embroidery into her work. And she's taken sort of bespoke upholstery to a completely new level. But there's lots and lots of people that you should really check out. This is the centre piece here is one of her chairs, the back of her chairs. But, you know, think about detailing in passementerie as well. And passementerie is trimmings and embroidery. And they'll add something really special to a scheme, again, and lift it out of the ordinary. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. So if you want to learn more, as Becky said at the beginning of the talk, KLC, we do lots and lots of short courses on our website, short courses, and you can have a look at our website there. These are some of our current courses, and We've got a, there's a special offer of 10% off all short courses if you book before the end of September. But I think I've really just touched on the tip of the iceberg in terms of these topics. I could do a presentation on each of these, but I really hope that you've picked up a tip, a few tips today, and you're going to take something home and work with it and go sourcing for your scheme. And this is me, so if you want to ask me any questions or follow me on Instagram or get in touch, that is where you will find me. And that just leaves me to say thank you very much. Oh, sorry. That just leaves me to say thank you very much. Thanks for listening. And as I said, I hope you found it useful. And I will hand over to Becky now.
When you're combining woods, for example, you did the kitchen there with the So you've got particular colours that sit on the colour wheel that need to complement other colours, but woods don't sit on the colour wheel in terms of the brown. So how would you know, say, with that flooring, what type of wood to use to match the accent colours that you're using?
Well, I suppose for me, in terms of looking at those, again, so, you know, they're sort of neutrals, but, you know, if you look at a neutral, and even if you think of, like, your achromatics, if you mix an achromatic with a colour, like, in terms of neutrals, there will always be a neutral with a hint of brown or a hint of, you know, so I would look at, I would be looking at the whole scheme. So in terms of the wall colour, and then I would be looking at the wood that goes with the wall colour and then the finish of the units and then the worktop. So I would be making sure. So that scheme was sort of quite neutral, but it was a warm neutral. So that was sort of how, and then you can sort of introduce just these little pops of colour. So I hope that helps. In terms of choosing the colours and finishes for the scheme, is that what you mean? So, okay, because normally if somebody's doing, there's usually something already there. You know, it's very rare that they'll be like, you know, let's start from scratch. It's a new floor, it's a new, you know, wall, everything. But if, as I said with colour, if I was sort of starting from scratch, I would start with the wall colour. Because it's almost that's the biggest, and then the floor. I mean, the ceiling is, you know, it's either going to be white or, you know, so that sort of, that kind of sets the tone. It's sort of the biggest piece. So that's just personally, I would start with the wall colour. But then sometimes if the floor is already there or something, you know, you start with that. But the wall colour is the decision I would make very early on. So do you mean by warmer colours like the reds and the oranges and the, so you, yeah. Well, I don't know. I would maybe, well, if it's a south facing room, I would maybe go again with the cooler colours. But as I said, don't think pastel. Because the cooler colours, you know, the ones that you're talking about, the seas, they tend to be, you know, kind of pastely blues and the colour of the sea and it's all the, you know, distressed wood. And so I would almost be looking at just deeper, more intense blues or even greens and, you know, maybe a monochromatic scheme. And then again, with texture. Okay.
You've got interior design and you also have...
I can't hear you, sorry.
you've got interior design and you've got architecture, and sometimes design cannot compensate for the issues with the structure. So when do you know you need an architect to redesign the room or a designer? That makes sense. There's two separate
disciplines,
and where do they come together?
Well, designers, there are lots of designers, interior designers and architects work together quite well. And as long as they're clear about their roles, I mean, and there are different sort of kind of permutations of both of them. But architects principally, and this is just my belief, I could be wrong, I could be corrected, but architects principally are concerned with the space and the structure, whereas designers are concerned with the sort of feel and look of the interior. So an architect can bring in furniture, but they tend to not be that interested in it, because they're more interested in sight lines and how they can manipulate and change or build a space that is really interesting. And then getting a designer to work with them is then how that designer works with them to elevate that even further. And all of the furniture and finishes and everything that you put into the scheme complements what the architect has done. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Are some designers architects or have some basic knowledge of architecture?
You will have interior architects, so they will be interior designers who have trained in architecture and will, you know, sort of, so they will sort of encompass everything. But they're obviously going to have a leaning towards one or the other.
Where do you find them?
Pardon?
Where do you find them?
What? KLC, they're probably here. I could introduce you to one afterwards.
Do you have a list? Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Do you want to just wait? Because I think everybody wants to hear your question.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I need to wear flat shoes.
I just wanted to say that was a really impressive presentation. Thank you.
And oh, thank you.
And I was very interested to know when you qualified.
I qualified in 2006. Because, sorry, one of my fellow students is here today. I haven't seen her since then. Yeah. 2006. Yeah, 2006. And I studied at KLC. Thank you. Thank you very much. Got loads of questions today. This is great.
Just wanted to ask, what makes you determine when you want to use an accent wall in a space? What makes
an accent wall? Well, actually, yeah. One of the things, because again, you know, when you do a presentation like this, there's so much I want to talk about. I kind of have to sort of edit and think I can't, you know, because I'd be talking forever about stuff. I could talk about this all day long. But when I was talking about, you know, the warm colors advancing and the cool colors receding, perhaps if you've got a really, I don't know, say for example, you've got a really cavernous room, you know, big room, like say in a loft space, you know, a converted loft warehouse, and you wanted to zone spaces, and perhaps you wanted to make a space, you know, at one part of it feel cozier, so you might paint that wall in a darker color so it's coming towards you, you know, or in a big room, you might, you know, where, or in a hallway perhaps, you've got a really, really long sort of dead hallway, and you could almost paint that, you know, and if you've got a back wall on the hallway, you can paint that a really dark color, so it shortens it visually, and you could put something really interesting there, so it visually kind of stretches the space out, and it comes towards you, so it's feeling more intimate rather than just this sort of huge walkway. Yeah, and there's lots of tricks, like you can use stripes and stuff to widen it, but that's for another day.
Any more questions? Well, I think we should give Nicola a huge round of applause.
Thank you.
I think in my back pocket, I've got more tricks and tips and ideas, and I know lots of people are writing notes. So how exciting interior design is at the moment. Honestly, we're so lucky, and it was just the most thrilling talk. I want to point out to you Amy, hands over here. She's from KLC. If you are interested in some of their courses, I think Nicola mentioned that this is a set of actually a week-long course on these similar subjects. Do chat to Amy and she can tell you more about it. We are so grateful to Baker because this is the most stylish showroom. And I think everybody, some people are enjoying some very, very comfy seating. Is that right?
Yes.
Good. And it's the most beautiful showroom and beautifully put together from chairs and tables to mirrors to accessories. Thank you very much, Sheldon, for having us. And thank you for coming. And we hope to see you again soon. Thank you.